Biloxi Blues. It happens every night.
Every old night.
And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
Nope.
The summer heat never treats me kind. It leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you out another time.
Sing.
This highway
does not know my name,
and I don't care. No,
I don't
care. Heading my way
for another place, and I got
three good
right to the hook right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget. Live. The not so live variety from the low. The actual live variety. Sorry. I get used to saying crap, people. This is actually live from the low budget live barn grill. Sorry. It's been a day. It's been a Monday. Daniel Lomax Fishing, we're starting off the show with a bang. He said, let's go see you at the Classic. And yes, he's yelling at the screen. Hope to see a lot of you at the Bassmaster Classic. And this is a very, very Bassmaster Classic-ish episode. So welcome all you lowlifers. I see y'all starting to stack up in here. I apologize for not having one for you today, but we're going to do it tonight. We will we'll all get together and enjoy this thing as it actually goes down. So looking forward to seeing everybody. First things first, I do have to say that it is Classic Week. I made a video today, and every year of my life when I do events, whether it was when I was playing music or when I do these classic parties, whatever you want to call it, it is always, you are nervous, right? And the week of, because you're like, maybe nobody shows up, right? And we've never had that problem. Low Budget Live. Almost too many folks show up every single time. They're so much fun, man. This will be our fourth throwdown, the Low Lifer get together. But in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Saturday night, March the 23rd, if you're around 7 p.m.-ish, the Hunt Club, I am going to try to also stream it for those of you that can't be there, because I know not everybody's going to be in Tulsa. But we are going to be hanging out at the Hunt Club. I have assembled a group of of musicians. Fat Cat Newton has dubbed them the Fat Rascals. So Luke Duncan and the Fat Rascals. But we're going to play some full band tunes for you there. Hopefully my mic cable's better there than it is here in the bar and grill. But I appreciate all you lowlifers. I'm seeing y'all in the comments. What's up, Andre, the Wisconsin lowlifer? He had the shirt of the classic last year. Indeed. Yeah, Kenny Wojcik. So how big were the crowds at Red Crest? I'm going to get to that. I did go to Red Crest on Friday and walk around there. And we will damn sure get to that. But great guest tonight will be on with us here in a little bit. And like I said earlier today on the video, it is a former Bassmaster Classic champion. It's his first time on this show. So I'm really looking forward to that. But I appreciate each and every one of y'all tuning in tonight. I do have some Tito's in this cup tonight, as a matter of fact. Right there in the Tennessee coast. It's March Madness time. We didn't show up and show out in that SEC tournament, guys, but it's March Madness. We start playing this weekend. I think Thursday we play. All right, you low lifers. Let me thank some sponsors real quick, because they are what makes this world go round. That and the low lifers, right? So let's do the thing. This episode is brought to you by the folks at Fish Tips, fishtips.com. Very, very cool people. I finally got to meet all of them in person at Red Crest for a little bit, but they are doing neat things over there. There are a lot of very talented anglers posting their tips, giving advice on there. And for me, it is a really neat platform. If, you know, I fish with my kids a lot, y'all know that, and I don't necessarily want to hire a guide, but if I was in an area that I'm not very familiar with, it would be cool to get like a general idea of where I need to go. And there's anything from really general tips on there to really specific. They range at different prices, but there are some absolute studs that post a lot of goings on in the fishing world on there, fishtips.com. gillfishing.com. Y'all know the deal. LBL gift, if you spend $100 at Gill Fishing, is going to absolutely get you this awesome Voyager dry bag right now. LBL gift at gillfishing.com. ProGuyBatteries.com. They got a new charger, several new chargers out. I got to see those for the first time at Red Crest. They do some incredible things. They'll actually wake your batteries up. Their batteries have that technology built in, but this charger will actually wake your batteries up. All these lithiums, they can go to sleep when it gets cold, different things. Their chargers do that. They have a built-in fan that's incredible. They walk me through the entire thing. They have a 5-bank charger, which is kind of a big deal now with all the electronics. But ProGuideBatteries.com, you can use code LBL10 there. Bait-Works.com. Look right here. I should have brought the new one. We're releasing a color at the Classic. We're calling it Rooster. And I should have done a better job and had one to show all you lowlifers. But it'll be available in the Baitworks booth. I will be in the Baitworks booth a lot at the Classic as well. You can use code Duncan-10 at bait-wrx.com to save money. And last but not least, hang the imaginary banner that's not going to be here because I don't have the graphics when I do live. But Express Boats, Hot Springs, Arkansas. We will be doing a podcast in the Express Boats booth at 1 p.m. on Saturday. Come pretend you're driving that X21. They got a new boat that's going to show up there. I've been hearing. I'm not going to announce it here, but there's a new boat. I'm not going to tell you the model, but there's a new Express in town. It's going to be a bad dude, and it is going to be at the Bassmaster Classic. But come say hi. I'll be around there this weekend as well. But at 1 p.m., we're doing a live there. There's going to be some giveaways, some cool guests. 1 p.m. at the Classic Expo. All right, moving on. Thank y'all. Let's see. The new color, smash them on the Coosa. Yeah, so Noah Dickinson, shout out Noah, photographer extraordinaire for the Alabama Bass Trail, and he did indeed get a couple of those new Rooster LOBs, and it's good to hear. Thanks, Noah. Thanks for the feedback on that. All right, here we go. Low lifers, Red Crest was dull. Okay, we'll start with that. First of all, congrats to Dustin Connell. He is absolutely a freak of nature. Y'all know I'm a Dustin fan. He is just something else, man. And to win on your home lake, especially with that format, right? Because you got to just pour on the gas. His strategy was incredible all week. It looked like, you know, a couple days I was like, man, is he gonna make it? Is he gonna, you know, make it through? And it was like he just played it all so absolutely perfect, and then poured on the gas yesterday. It was really cool, man, to see him. I hate that there aren't bigger moments with MLF, and I've talked about that on the show a lot as far as like no weigh-in, right? And there aren't a lot of people at the celebrations, because it is odd that the tournament ends, you know, obviously everything is known all day long, but I always think you're missing those moments. And it was just him, his official, and his camera guy, but it's still, I watched it. I wanted to see the end when I saw he was up so much, and to hear him get emotional and to hear the stories he was telling about growing up there, it was a special deal, man. And so shout out to DC. He's won, only 400 grand out of 3 tournaments so far this year. Second time winning their championship, the Red Crest there, and dominating win on the last day. Shout out to little Alton Jones Jr. for coming in second. Again, Alton. Again. And I know Alton said, he smashed him. He's like, I thought if I caught over 50 pounds that I would surely to God be winning this thing. But he unfortunately didn't. So I did go down to the Red Crest. I had a meeting there that I had to go to. And no, it wasn't with any MLF brass. I did see several of my old FLW family members there that still work for the organization. And y'all hear me say that a lot. There's a lot of fantastic people in that organization that have worked for FLW for many, 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 many years. And I got to see several of them on Friday. And it was always good to see them and hug their necks. And they are just great people. I would say, you know, the show had a lot of vendors, a lot of stuff going on, but it was a big, I would say this was the reaction of everybody on Friday. It was a lot of that right there, right? It was all you know, there wasn't a lot going on. Wasn't a lot going on at all. And, man, I've been to a lot of shows. Y'all know that. I've worked a lot of Forestwood Cups. I've been to a ton of classics working, and as a fan since I was a kid, worked my fair share of shows, all sorts of shows, whether it's East Tennessee Fishing Show or different boat shows, whatnot. It was a miserably slow Friday when I was there for a crowd. I talked to a lot of vendor friends of mine. Nobody's happy about it. I don't on that front, you know. Did it get better through the weekend? I'm not sure. You know, you have to speak to that on Saturday, Sunday. There was a lot going on in Alabama this weekend, but it's not the classic, man. It's just not. And I saw a friend of mine made a post and he called it the Diet Classic. He said, I went to the Diet Classic. And I hate that it's not bigger than it is for the anglers involved. I really do. Did they choose to go that route? 1,000,000%. Y'all know my feelings on all of it. I've talked about it for a long time. I'm sure Dustin doesn't care how many people were there or weren't there, right? But I think for the overall health of the organization and that event, it's just not, it's not catching fire, man. You don't see the people that travel. And the Classic got a 40-year head start, don't get me wrong, or whatever the case is. How many numbers, however many Classics. But, man, it's crazy that people just don't really give a damn. Like, they don't. They don't. And I'm sure if some of y'all were there, y'all can speak in the comments here. I'm just kind of getting caught up here. But, you know, it's just sad. It's sad. What I saw Friday was sad. And I don't know how many chances you get to get that right, because this was the whatever one, you know, they had one at La Crosse, Wisconsin years ago, and it was, you know, really slow and kind of, you know, and then they decided not to have it for a while and they started having it. And, you know, it's just, it's not catching fire. And I've been, like I said, a lot of Forestwood Cups on Fridays were very, very, very busy. Very busy, especially in a town like Birmingham, right, where you get so many fishermen. So not sure how it was Saturday, Sunday, like I said. A lot of good vendors there to pull people in. There was a lot, you know, a lot of cool booths. And I don't know, man. It was interesting for my first time. The show, as far as how it was set up, really cool. Really cool layout. It just ain't the Classic, man. And, you know, and look, it's not fair to compare it to that, I guess. But they bring that on themselves because they say the fishing championship event of the year on social media. It's the dumbest, dumbest, dumbest thing you could ever do. You are tone deaf if that's your take on it. The fishing championship event of the year. Like, stop it with that. Like, stay in your lane. Have a nice event for your anglers. Hope people show up. Quit flexing all the time. That's the problem. It's the ego within that organization that just makes it easy to go, don't really care. And I think obviously I'm seeing it in the comments. I think the fans believe that as well. And I had an angler I was talking to today that fishes over there. And that's another thing I would say. I talked to several anglers and guys that were just devout about this thing, right, and passionate just a few years ago. That's gone. It is gone. And somebody may tell you that's not the case. There are about 5 or 10 of them that might not be the case for, but trust me, an overwhelming majority of those people are without question not happy to be there. They just don't know what to do. They don't know. They don't know what to do. So anyway, meanwhile, Boyd is still talking about bass on his new podcast. Yeah. Glad he's got a podcast. I'm glad I won't ever have to watch it. I do think it's funny he's got one. He's like, hey, let me defend all this dumb stuff that I do on my podcast. He's not a dumb person. Understand that. Boyd is very smart. He wants people talking about him. MLF doesn't have that sump fishing with Bam. Some of the best videos on the IG and the TikToks. I'm sure I don't do TikTok fishing with Bam. I'm sure you're there. MLF doesn't have the something to lose factor as all other tournaments. Interesting. I like that statement. What's Red Crest? And look, like I said, man, Dustin Connell sitting somewhere right now counting his money. He's good. He doesn't care. It was an emotional win for him. My buddy Jesse Wiggins did well in it. Like, I was pulling for those dudes. It's still a bass tournament with big money on the line and coverage, and I know what they all go through to try to get there and win it. It's not freaking easy. It's not. So for the anglers, I feel bad that the event is not bigger. But I don't know what it takes. I don't know what it takes. And I did just, as Worldwide calls it, red breast. Did I protest Matt Lee? Yeah, I got to tell that story, I guess. Matty Lee. So Matt Lee joined us at the Alabama Bass Trail for coverage this week because Jason Duran, shout out to my buddy Jason, he had to work Red Crest for Phoenix Boats. And so Matt Lee joined us, did a great job on Alabama Bass Trail Live. And after we got back to Smith Lake Dam there, we had a couple hours before the weigh-in, and I said, man, let's have a tournament. Let's fish right here. And there was a very tiny smidge of off limits. Of course, I'm not going to be out there. There's 225 boats trying to win 15 grand plus. I'm not going to go running around in the Express and try to, get in anybody's way. And so me and Brenton Long, my camera guy, we got in my boat. And you can see right here, Noah Dickinson was also in the tournament. He was fishing solo. And he did get beat. I'm just saying, we only caught one, but we won. Brenton caught it. I didn't catch it. And I lost two, but Noah was in the tournament, and then Matt Lee. And Matt was just steady, just trying to throw over my line. So, yeah, I posted that up on Instagram, and I did not protest him to Miss K. But we did have a good time, as we always do, at the Alabama Bass Trail. But Noah will fish in that off-limits, man. He'll get after him in that off-limits. But we would like to have been running around the whole lake because those bass were biting. Let's see. Good times. Please tell us Watson is on tonight. No Jamesy tonight. Look forward to maybe seeing him at the Classic, though, okay? Maybe a little bit low-budget live at the Classic. Just be on the lookout for some Worldwide. I'm trying to put that together. But not tonight. Tonight we got a Classic champ, man. It's I'm really excited about it. He's going to join us just here, here in just a little bit. Let's go through some comments. Y'all are... Three live scope beams equals radioactive fish. Noah did make a good point. We were all live scoping each other in the off limits there at Smith Lake Dam, and those suckers were swimming as fast as they could away from us. It was just a lot of it's like a virtual sword fight. It was not good. And there were just fish darting everywhere. GTO has a new podcast coming out. Gunners will tackle. Yeah, somebody else told me that. Somebody else told me about that. Scott Easel, work your ass off to have your weight zeroed is stupid. Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. But I think in their every fish matters format or whatever, I think that's the only way you can really do it. Because then somebody's just going to make it interesting. Because if you don't, somebody's going to catch 374 pounds over 3 days. I couldn't even do the math on that, on how many bass that would be. But, And they're just going to run off with it. So I think as long as they're doing that format, they've got to do that. But I also think that, and look, in five fish tournaments, people can run away with things. Obviously, like we saw that at the MPFL Championship, Brandon Perkins ended up winning by 15 pounds, right? Like we had to call that one early on Showdown Saturday, the final day. But that being said, people still have a chance in a five fish format. And I saw a lot of comments where people were like, yeah, DC's got too big of a lead, I'm not watching. And I found myself in that same boat. I turned it on, I saw how big of a lead he had, and then I came back towards the end just because I do enjoy seeing that reaction, seeing, I know how hard, like I said, these guys work, and I wanted to see that. I knew it was special for DC at home. He told the story about his brother and him fishing so much on that lake as a kid, his mom dropping him off in a canoe. Like, Dustin is one of those guys that he didn't have a silver spoon growing up. You see a lot of comments about the young pros out there, and Dustin's a veteran now. But, man, I've known him since he was a young dude, and he's just been after it. He puts in the time. He absolutely slays them all the time, and it's just pretty damn cool to see. And it won't be his last win of this year, I would dare say. But between him and Jacob, they've gone 3 for 3. It's insane to see, man. And Crush City, can we talk about, like, And obviously hard work goes in, and it's not luck at all. But, dude, also, how lucky are you if you're a Rapala Crush City? These guys are just smashing on these baits. It's insane. Billy Bass, what was the deal with Chris Lane and his boat official? I have no idea. I didn't watch enough of it. I didn't watch enough of it to know that kind of stuff. I have no clue on that. Billy. No clue. What's up, Chuck from East Tennessee? By the way, FBD. That is true. Luke, I can't believe you were in my backyard and on Smith and didn't want to go smash some spotted bass. Well, I can't. I can't because when I'm working for Alabama Bass Trail, I try not to go out there on the water and with a rod and reel. That doesn't – I'll get in trouble. Miss Kay will be not happy about that. Randy Blockett is the guest. Randy Blockett is the guest tonight. He is a classic champion in his own mind coming in from Brother Ben. Yes, indeed, he is a champion of the world in his own mind, but he is definitely not the guest tonight. Duck at Honda announced you are fishing the Doid Bucket Fishing League next year. y'all are on one tonight. I like it. All right, let's go with some classic picks. Who y'all got? I want to know who y'all got in the comments because I'm gonna give you mine. I've already done this before on the show, obviously, the last couple weeks, but I keep kind of changing my mind a little bit. But I think we got to get Luke Palmer on the list for the classic. All right, I'm gonna go Luke Palmer. I'm gonna go Ben Milliken, and I think you got to go Jason Christie. Those are my three. I'm going Milliken, Luke Palmer, and Jason Christie. Lock those in. All right. Fat Cat Newton, because he's won two in the same year. Of course, 87 back-to-back. Politics keep him out of it now. Williams is a dark horse? Okay. Okay. Tyler Williams is a dark horse? Listen, I like that young man. Want to have him on here after the classic. John Cox. Okay, Milliken. Kento will win. Okay. Listen, dude, that's not a bad pick. When Ronnie Moore was on here, I was going to say, Kenta lives close, and that dude is an animal. He had a top five the last time there was an open there. He had a top five. But that's not a bad pick. Not a bad pick at all. Jason Christie, Greg Hackney, and Tock could be... Yeah, I totally agree with this take right here from Jeff Grope. Could be a rookie open winner the way those guys are fishing, honestly, wide open this year. For years, it was really thought, though, and this is the same with just all the major tournaments, was that a rookie really didn't have a chance in the Classic, but you are 1,000,000% right, more so than ever. You got the Kyle Patricks that won an event that are in there, the Tyler Williams that are in there. So many young anglers in this thing this year, and they're already having success. Milliken, they're already having success. Of course, Milliken's a little older than those guys, but they're already having success at the elite level, so that kind of the butterflies are gone, I would think. Now, the Classic's a different ballgame. We all know that, but I still think you're definitely right on that take. We could see a rookie take this thing home. Hank Cherry. Yeah, Hank Cherry came really close. The first time I ever met Hank Cherry was at the Grand Classic that Cliff Pace won, and he lost the fish that he would have won. Ryan Branch, dude, you are not wrong on that too. See, Easton Fothergill right there. I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, I had that young man on this show. He is far and away as impressive as it gets. Would not shock me. I was actually one of his roommates as one of my camera op. With me, we get paired up, Brenton Long, and at the ABTs, another great young man and great young fisherman. But dude, I think Fothergill is super under the radar for a lot of people, but man, that young man can fish. And those Montevallo guys just catch them, period. We saw that with Dalton Head during Red Crest as well. So good picks come in. Tyler, if a rookie wins, Randy Blockett will blow his top. Tyler Williams coming in. I like it. Trying to keep up with the comments here. There we go. Right there. If a rookie wins, Randy Blockett will blow his top. That's a fact. That's a fact. We're ruining it all with the live scope. He'll make 72 videos during the class. He'll call them cheaters and everything else. Listen, I've called people out for cheating, but they was actually cheating. What they're doing is all well within the rules. Kyle Welcher, golly, there's too many people to pick. And I like so many of those guys that it's hard for me to settle in on one. Y'all are killing me with all these names. I want Ben to win just to piss Randy off. I don't think Trey is in right now. Trey forgot his insurance all the time. Little Trey is not in there Trey McKinney, you mean. I'm sorry. I thought you meant Honey Bun Trey Swindle. No, he's not in the class. He's going to be in Low Budget Live, though. Trey Swindle will be. Little Honey Bun will be there. What weight will win? Andrew Browning. I'm going to go 58 pounds. I'm going to write that down so I remember it. 58 pounds for 3 days. Grand's a funny one, dude. I fish Grand a bunch, and it's got some really big fish, but it fishes weird sometimes. Very, very weird. 73, Brian. Okay, he said 73-13. Come on with it. Okay. Another Crush City win with Kyle Welcher. Potential's there. Trust me, anytime that boy goes out swinging the bat, he could hit a grand slam. He is an absolute dude. There's no doubt about it. Have I seen the KGP over 60 grand? Okay, Brandon lives out there in that part of the world. Over 60, so we're going 20 a day. I mean, and dude, you know like I do, it's got the potential for that. I just feel like something always happens to keep it from being that way in most things. But I think weather-wise, it could definitely take that for sure. Well, I appreciate y'all all throwing out there. Rick Klein and Michelle Thomason coming in. Cody Huff, a pick coming in. Absolutely. Before we get our guest on, I will be doing my live show. I'll be doing one at the Express Boats booth at 1 p.m. on Saturday and then on the 23rd. And then that night at the Hunt Club, we will be doing a live podcast, playing music, and just all the low lifers getting together. Okay. So, be there or be square, as the kids say. I don't think the kids say that anymore. Weather going downhill on Sunday. I hope it don't go downhill on Saturday. I don't care if they got to deal with bad weather fishing. It's my selfishness. I've not looked at it, but man, I hope that's not the case. That is for sure. Our guest has actually popped up in the queue here, and I'm going to let me read off some stat lines here just real quick. I gotta read this. So I met this guy. He is one of my, I feel like I say this a lot. Y'all hear me say this, but this is true. This is the first professional fisherman that I ever got to know as a kid. And I got to meet him through a mutual friend of ours. And dude, he was all I ever wanted to be, for sure, for good reason. And he represented himself well, but he fished the way I like to fish. And I met him, I was probably 12 years old. I'm going to make him feel old when we get on here. He's almost ready here, but he's won over $2 million, $2 million in career earnings over his career. He's got 5 wins, 50 top 10s, 81 top 20s. He is an absolute legend to me, and we are coming up on right now, his 10-year anniversary of winning the Bassmaster Classic. Ladies and gentlemen, lowlifers of all ages, Randy Howell joining us. What's right happening? Now, live. What's happening? And in person on Low Budget Live. What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Can everybody hear Mr. Randy Howell out there? I know y'all can. Y'all let us know, but I know I can. Listen,
I still got an expo hangover from the last 3 days. A hangover of talking so much to so many people I hadn't seen in years.
Well, listen, that's what I said at the first of the show. I saw so many people there at the expo, just friends of mine that work for different companies. You were the first person I ran into. So I got to tell this real quick, Randy, the way this happened to get him for LBL was I walked right into him as soon as we both got there, before we even got into the convention center. And I said, hey, we're coming up on the classic. We're coming up on your anniversary. Let's do a show. So I appreciate you joining me, buddy. And listen, there's already comments about the haircut is immaculate. He has had that haircut. I met him when I was 12 years old. That was many moons ago. I like making Randy feel old. He remembers me as a little chubby kid asking him for fishing advice years and years ago. And he's had that haircut ever since.
Yeah, I've had that haircut for a while, man, since I was like 15 years old or so. I got it. I went to a Christian school. The quick story on my haircut, for those who don't know about it. Christian school. I was a rebellious kid. My mom dropped me off at the barbershop, and I told her, you know, I was going to get a haircut that everybody else was getting. And I got a come out, and I had a V. I had straight hair, and I had a V and a rat tail in the back. Remember the old rat tail yeah. days for those people in the late 80s, early 90s? That was like 1988, probably. I graduated in 91. And so about that time, she took me back to school, and they took me right to the principal's office the next morning, called her up, come back to get me, and she took me back to the barbershop. They cut it all off, and all they could do was make a flat top out of it. And that's how it started, because I had a rat tail that might send me to hell, they thought, at my Christian school at the time. So that's how that started.
Man, and, times so have changed, right? I wonder what they think at that same school today, what they think about these kids rocking the mullets. Mullets are fashionable now, Randy.
I know. That's exactly right. All that stuff's fashionable now. You know, most of the schools are all good with it. That school actually went out of business later on down the road. It ain't even there anymore. So that was probably a good sign that was what happened, because of doing stuff like that.
That's amazing.
It is good to be here.
Well, buddy, I appreciate you so much, because we've never done the podcast. I was about to say we did Boats and Pros. It was one of my favorite ones that I've ever got to film with you. And even knowing you like I've known you personally for so many years, and I've considered you a friend and a mentor, man, I've always just appreciated the heck out of you. And you've given me advice at times in life. And especially, I used to bug you a lot. When I was a young man, I would bug Randy Howe. I'd be like, all right, Randy, what do I need to do with this? And he was always so gracious, man, but never had you on LBL. So I'm glad you're here, and we're live with these folks, man. Just, they are commenting. They said the old Livingston DT10. They said, no, it was a howler, dude. Come on.
Hey, nothing was ever hidden. It was all told the truth. I caught him on a DT6 first thing in the morning, caught 20 pounds, and I'd have finished a nice fifth or sixth place with that DT6. Wouldn't never won the classic. When I changed up to the Livingston after they quit biting up there shallow, and I caught him first time, and I caught him on that, and that's what I ended up catching and culling everything except that 1 7-pounder on. So I went on. It was documented. We always got haters out there. I went on the show with. I was on the show with Zona on Bassmaster and showed the baits and told him and gave her pal off straight up, props and love for it all. Didn't get nothing for it, but I did it, and I told all the truth about it. So anybody that goes back and looks at all YouTube stuff, they'll see it was all told true.
I remember that old big one with that Livingston just choked. I'll never forget that.
That's where it came from. It was just part of the miracle of time, and you know how the Lord let everything work out to have the miracle of catching that many fish like on that spot that morning, how it all happened. And the same deal, bait being a brand new bait, me being a new company to working with them for a year and being able to get a bait to showcase and help them and help me all at the same time. It just all came together at the perfect time. And so, you know, I'm definitely thankful. I just can't believe it. You believe it's been 10 years,
dude.
You know, 10 years. I was 40 years old. I've turned 50 just here recently. And now I'm 50, and now I was 40 then, same as you are now. So it's crazy. It's been that long.
Yeah, I am definitely getting older, and you don't look 50 though. I feel like I look like 60 when I look in the mirror. You take better care of yourself.
I feel like it.
Miss Robin takes better care of you than my wife takes care of me. I think she just lets me go off the rails and be unhealthy. I think Miss Robin stays on you.
She definitely encourages me to eat better and do good. I kind of got off sugar. almost not quite 2 years ago, about a year and a half ago. I still have some sugar that's in food and stuff like that, but I was addicted to sweet tea my whole life. Mm-hmm. And I still hate unsweet tea, but I'm drinking unsweet tea now, and you know, the stevia and stuff like that. But I mean, it's still, I'm not eating desserts like I used to, and a lot of the stuff, just trying to stay healthy as possible, because everything starts hurting a lot more. And I got two good boys that are, muscle heads that love working out, and I work out with them. Worked out with Oakley last night after I got back from that expo, and I'm still sore today. And Laker's a beast now, and he's about 230, 6'5", and Oakley's about 180, 6'3". So they keep me beat up and in shape much as they can around the house.
Listen, I saw Laker at Red Crest Friday, and I always just – I seem to forget. I told you earlier today we talked on the phone, and I said I still see him as the little kid. You know, I was really young, I feel like, when I met you, but I always see Laker as just like – and Oakley both as like these little boys. And he walked past me and walked – I'm like, he is a large specimen. Laker Howell's a big boy.
They're both big boys, but man, after the last couple of years, he's worked out so much and eats like 10 times a day, I think. And he's big. And man, Robin's side of family had some 6'7", 6'9" cousins. So there's a lot of height in that side. And I had a little bit of height mixed in my dad's side too. So I just didn't get much of it. I'm barely 5'11" and they're all, they always make fun of me. And I always say, man, what, you didn't have nothing to do with how tall you got. So why do you brag about it? You know, you just be thankful that you got tall. You know, you didn't do nothing to get it, you know, so why you brag about it?
You just, you drew a good hand, young man. You drew a good hand, right? It's the luck of the draw sometimes. Well, dude,
exactly right.
You know, we always think about the Classic Week. I feel like it, the hype that's always around it, it is an event that changes someone's life inevitably. And it has been for many, 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 many years. Really, I guess dating back to the first one, right? Just because all the pomp and circumstance around it, like it does change lives. But you've won very big events that have impacted your life at different times. I think back to the Wheeler FLW win. You were sleeping in Jerry Lawler's floor. You guys didn't know if you, yeah. I mean, the story you've told it many times, but you told it on Boats and Pros, especially shout out Jerry Lawler, our dear friend, yeah. Jerry, but you were, you know, sleeping on folks' couches. You and Robin traveling around the country trying to make it. You were buried in credit card debt, and then you win Wheeler. You win $100,000 on the FLW tour, but then you won the Bassmaster, the E50 there. What, a quarter of a million, right, when you won that one?
That was at Dardanelle, yeah. Like 2004. That was the first, like, real Bassmaster win. And then I won. You know, like I said, when I won the Classic, I've never won a lot of tournaments, unfortunately, but I've been real consistent. Mm-hmm. But I have won some good key events, and I won a 2013 Open, Northern Open. Then I won the Classic. Then I won a 2015 Northern Open up at Syracuse, New York at Oneida. So I've had a few of those, you know, the Opens mixed in there with the FLW and then that Classic. So, yeah, I had a few. But I've made my living off of being consistent, you know, and not having a lot of bad tournaments. And I'd love to win more tournaments. And but it hadn't happened, but I still feel like I got a lot of time in me that we can still make something good happen, hopefully.
Well, no doubt about it, dude. But I guess what I mean by that is every time you've won, it's been kind of a life change, especially those couple events were life changing. But when you won the Classic in 2014, I feel like knowing you as long as I had, you just saw this huge momentum shift, whether it was sponsors, like it was like a new Randy Howell. It was the same guy, but man, you were shining like a diamond. I feel like I just got to witness that. Yeah. And man, talk about that though, that experience. Like once you win, is it like we feel like it is as fans that it does indeed change your life almost overnight?
Yeah, it definitely did. You know, what I feel like it did for me a whole lot was it gave me confidence that I struggled with, you know, most of my career. I've always been a shifty kind of guy when it comes to confidence. You know, one day you feel like you know what you're doing, feel like you're meant to be out here. The next day you don't do good, and then you kind of get down. I was like that a lot in my earlier years, you know, and still getting checks and fishing for checks and not really, you know, winning tournaments as much as I wanted to win. But when I got to that Classic, you know, and that was my 12th Classic. And I made, you know, 12 of them prior to winning that one. And so I really, I was making a really good living before I won that Classic, but I was about maxed out on anybody and anything that I could do without having a major title like the Classic. So I was already working hard for a lot of good companies, getting paid, you know, about max what I deserved probably at the time. But then when you get that title, get that Classic title, then everything went to another level. And that's when, you know, I could really you know, blow the top off of kind of where I was, the ceiling that I was kind of living under there for several years. So I, you know, I've had a great career with sponsors and companies and a lot of people I work for now, worked for, you know, 20 plus years. And I'm proud of that, but man, that classic sure what broke the lid off. And that kind of gave me the confidence, the momentum, and it gave me the, you know, the name across the country, people that really follow sports so much. That's the thing, when it's just amazing all the opportunities and the invites I got to places and everywhere you go. I was just, what was so funny about it and what's so crazy about sports, but it's like this with any sport. I was the same guy 3 days before I won the classic, and then 3 days after I won it, I was that same person when I went everywhere. But all of a sudden, I was a special, like a hero to so many people, and like I was so much better than I was last week because I had 3 great days and I won the Bassmaster Classic. But that's what sport is. That's what sports does. That's what titles do, and it sets you up for the rest of your career. And, you know, so I worked hard. I capitalized on it. I made, you know, as much money as I could from it everywhere I could. And, you know, and still to this day, you know, everywhere you go 10 years later, even at Red Crest last week, that's all everybody talks about in that show in Birmingham. I mean, everybody that come up to me, there's no telling how many there last weekend that were at the Classic 10 years ago. And that reminded me, I mean, I was sitting right here in this arena when you won that Classic. I watched it right there. I was standing on that bridge when you were catching those fish. And I, you know, some people that from other states were like, I was sitting there watching it live and I was crying on the stuff. I was crying watching it on the computer. And, you know, and so it was just a great, you know, a miracle story that resonated with everybody. And 10 years later, the story still lives on. And if it hadn't have been me that did it, I would still look at whoever, if that same story had evolved with somebody else, I would look at it and say that was still the greatest story to ever happen in classic history. And I'm just thankful the Lord let it be me.
Just that U-turn, baby, that U-turn to go right there. And yeah, then all of a sudden just start absolutely smashing it. That's was fine. Such an incredible day, and I love the fact that people could watch you standing on the causeway. They were standing on the bridge, people are hooping and hollering. Like, it was such a wild turn of events. And then we talked about this on Boats and Pros, and if y'all haven't seen that episode, go watch that, go find that on my YouTube channel, because it's really it was a special day with Randy getting to do this interview. And we actually went to the place this all went down. It gives me chills right now just thinking about it. But Randy actually lives on Gunnersville in that creek now. That is the coolest thing to me of all time.
Yeah, like, that is the coolest thing. Because that's another part of the story that just kind of happened because of the classic. You know, me and Robin lived in Springville for 13 years, and Trustful 5 years, come from North Carolina originally, but our goal, we love Gunnersville and we wanted to come to Gunnersville and move. And I just decided I didn't want to live in Gunnersville until I could live on the water. I didn't just want to live in town and be close to the water. I wanted to live on the water one day. So our goal was to get here by the time we were probably in our 50s or so. That was kind of what we'd always talked about. And then winning the classic here just kind of accelerated that and got to know more people, had opportunities, had a little bit of money. We were able to buy a lot and get up here, you know, 2015. So the year after 2015, 16, about a year and a half after I won, we moved up here. So it's a great, great town and just a great community. And man, it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't won that classic.
And to think though, you have to drive over the bridge. Think about this. All y'all think about it, like in the comments, y'all need to understand. I don't know if you've ever been over there, but like, for all you lowlifers, like, this man has to drive over the causeway to go anywhere, to go to the grocery store, to leave town. Yeah. He has to drive by the place where he won the Bassmaster Classic. Like, that is, I never drive over it that I don't think about that, but that is too cool to me. And you have to think about it all the time. There's no way you don't. It's just a constant reminder.
Yeah, when I go across it, you know, the first few years we lived here, I thought it was always so funny and cool, you know, because it was such a nostalgia for people that come here, because this is a bucket list lake. You know, people from all over the country come fish this lake, and it's packed with people every single day during the spring, especially. So I mean, multiple times though, really, the first few years I'd pull up to that. I mean, every time you went over that bridge, there was a boat or two on both sides of it. Every time, day or night, any day, weekday, weekend. And a couple times I pulled over on the bridge, wasn't in my wrap truck, just in a car, you know, roll my window down. I'd holler out the window and I'd say, y'all doing any good? And the guys would be like, oh, no, we ain't catching nothing. I'm like, ain't that place that old boy caught one that Bassmaster Classic yet? And they'd be like, yeah, sure did, but we sure ain't catching nothing here. And I'm like, yeah, there ain't no fish here no more. You know, and I did that multiple times. And only just one or two times did people ever know it was me when I did it. They'd figure it out. That's but hilarious. I love doing that. It was funny for a while. But I still, when I go over that bridge, I look out there some days and I still say, thank you, Lord, every time. Because that's where the miracle happens out there. You know, it really is. So it's cool to be living here in this same creek.
You know, with Guntersville, not to go too deep in the weeds, but it always amazes me to think about, it's like a really overwhelming thought, I guess, to think about how many bass swim through those causeways in a year. Yeah. Like, if you could just see that, I mean, and I know with forward facing and all that, obviously we get an idea of numbers of bass sometimes, but like the sheer number of fish that swim in and out of all those causeways in a year is it's got to be, I mean, there's no telling. I mean, it's thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. It's just crazy. Yeah. And they continue to produce. I'm seeing that in the comments. People are like, all the bridges get fished like crazy. Yeah, and you'll still get your butt beat by people fishing them in local stuff all the time. Fishing, really.
Yeah. That's right. Because the first person that gets to a good bridge has to stay there almost all day. That's the problem with it. You can't. It's not a good tactic if you know other places to catch fish at. That's the problem, because it's hard to sit there because you know they're biting everywhere else. But yeah. Somebody's going to sit there all day and get 5 to 7 bites when they move through at the right time, and they're going to catch, you know, 25 to 30 plus pounds. And that's what happens quite often at all these bridges.
No doubt about it. Right, we got a Jamie Sizemore coming in. First Marshall experience was in 2007 with Randy. I'll never forget how great Randy and Robin treated me. Jamie Sizemore is a good, he's a fine fella up in Kentucky. I've got to know Jamie over the years. And that doesn't surprise me. You're not going to have, you won't see a lot of comments. People are like, well, I met Randy Howe and I wanted to fight him. You won't see very many of those, I don't think. Randy's one of the good ones in this old industry.
About all I've ever done that is pass people maybe too close left or right on water. You know, I might have sprayed somebody once in a while. And I never meant to, you know.
I will say Randy Howe, the first Randy Howe experience that I ever had, I was sitting at Decatur Boat Harbor waiting on a top 150 weigh in. I was there with my dad and Jerry Lawler, and I was going to get to meet the Randy Howe that day. I'll never forget this moment. And Jerry, who's a dear friend of Randy's that we mentioned a couple of times, but he's looking, he's like, man, he was supposed to be in at like 320. I don't know where he's at. And at the time he had this Gambler. Okay. And all you could see was that flat top sticking out from behind that console, but he came in on truly in the air. And like all but landed, like we're standing right there, right on the takeoff boat, and made it with just like this much to spare. And that's what I got to know about Randy, was he liked to drive fast. There was only one speed, and he was always, no matter if he had 47 pounds in the boat or none, he was going to show up right at the time to check in every single time.
Yeah, that's about right. That was the truth. You know, it used to be funny on the Bassmaster Elite days with me and Ike Anelli. We're always, when anytime we were in the same flight, it would always be a race between me and him to get in last. You know, me and him would be the last two to get in. And Aaron Martins used to be like, Aaron Martins would fish right there and wait to the last, you know, few seconds to get in too. And we would always joke about it. But, because I'll tell you, I've won several tournaments in my career have come on that last 5 minutes, last 2 minutes, you know. So I never want to leave a minute on the table, you know. And that's what I always believe, that's a big deal.
Well, that was the FLW tour you won on Wheeler. You net the fish, the camera boat had gone by, the fish is flopping the boat, big smallmouth, and you end up putting it in the live well literally at the takeoff, right? Like it before you check in.
And I'm idling in, and the only guy that saw it happening was the check-in boat right there at the mouth of Ditto Land, and he was sitting there. He watched me swing that fish and get it in the boat, and he cranked, and I was like, the clock had already clicked 3 o'clock, and you get that full 59 seconds before it's 3:01, and you're late, you know, and I was already like 15 seconds after 3 o'clock or whatever before it clicked. And I cut right in there and got in time, put the fish in. It was number five, and I beat Rick Klum by 1 ounce that day, and it was my fifth fish. Had I not stopped, you know, and Rick Klum would have won that tournament had I not stopped and made that last two casts right there. So, and the other day, 2015 Northern Open at Lake Oneida, Anthony Gagliardi was idling in, and he had the tournament won, and I stopped with a seagull dove down in front of me, chasing bait, and a smallmouth busted, and I stopped and stood up with my kill switch on, grabbed my swim bait, and threw it. Caught a 3-pound smallmouth, swung him in, grabbed a little largemouth, threw a pound and something went out. My co-angler was sitting there, and we cranked and made it in with 15 seconds to spare, and I beat him by 8 ounces.
I didn't know that.
That's happened to me twice.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was a good one there. Nobody knows that one because no TV stuff on those a whole lot, you know.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm always a big believer in the last minute. I tell Laker all the time, and Laker still hasn't listened to me enough. You know, that open he finished second in last week, he still came in almost 10 minutes early because he had 27 pounds, you know. And I'm like, then he didn't win. I'm like, man, you could have caught one more. You might have caught a 7-pounder right there. You had like 8 minutes left. You could have cast 25, 30 more times at least. And you never know what could happen. But if you don't give a minute, don't leave it on the table, you ain't never got any regrets. That's why I always say that.
I love that.
See, y'all remember that.
Well, speaking of Laker, Victor Nicholson coming in. He says, tell Randy, me and my bud have a guide trip with Laker in April on Gunnersville. Victor, I think you will enjoy that. That boy stays around them bass on Gunnersville all the time. He is a very good angler. Ryan Branch in the comments. I met Randy when I was 12-year-old also, Luke. I got to fish with him in the Marks Outdoors tournament. So Ryan Branch has spent a day with you, and he was my fishing idol growing up from that day forward. Ryan Branch. It's a good young man.
Ryan. Ryan's a good old boy.
Yes, he can
catch him too. Ryan's a big fish boy.
That's right. Yeah, he catch him. He'll catch him up, that is for sure. So there were a lot of comments when you first came on, and I love this. That said, oh, and look, it's Laker's dad. because you go through these things in life, and like, you're Randy Howe, the Bass Pro, the Bassmaster Classic champion, you know, people's fishing heroes. And now we got this situation where Laker, I mean, and I knew it was inevitable, right? Like the young man's always had the bug. He's always loved it since he was really small and growing up on tour, and you guys, they traveled with you everywhere. So he's got to experience it. But before we get into kind of his recent success and what you think about that, what did you think when he said, okay, this is what I want to do? Did you think, as long, because you and Robin have been at this for a very, very, very long time, right out of high school, you started this journey, right?
Yeah.
It's led us to so many years in the fishing world. But did you have any reservations like, well, man, because the industry's so crazy. I mean, it's not easy, right? It's not easy to make a living with a rod and reel. Did you have any reservations when he told you that's what he wanted to do?
Yeah, you know, a little bit early on, especially on Robin, because Robin is a teacher, and she's that was their teacher. She's a big education, you know, girl, and she, you know, she really wanted to, you know, make sure they explored every other way, you know, their own passion, whatever their own passion is, you know, that was the whole thing. We never wanted Laker or Oakley to try to do something just because I did it or just because they think I thought they should do it. Because everywhere you went as a kid growing up, that's everybody would always say, are you going to be a fisherman like your dad one day? You know, and you don't want to be that dad that pushes it on them. Mm-hmm. So we never pushed it on them, and, you know, but we watched it evolve with Laker through high school fishing, and I knew it was his passion, you know, and we gave him plenty of opportunities to try to do other things. And he got a 2-year business marketing degree at Snead Community College here and didn't go to fishing the college route with the big fishing college fishing route. He started to, and then just didn't knew it wasn't for him at the time. So he had a good focus all his life. He's wanted to know what he wanted to do, and he had the right personality for it, the right look for it, and the knowledge. And then when the electronics game come along like it has, and he's been able to be on the forefront of that as a young angler too, I think that's really going to help him a lot too. So after probably that first year he started out doing it, I got better with it pretty quick. Robin was still a little bit more reserved than I was, making sure, because she knows, because she struggled and grinded it out with me early on. And, you know, and it took us 4 or 5 years to really ever get over the hump, to really ever make a living. And so we didn't want them to ever struggle like that. But so he's in it. But Oakley, you know, Oakley at the same time, now Oakley, we put him in high school here in Guntersville, just he could play basketball. And then as he got away from fishing and got with everybody else doing other things, he got different influences, and he wants to be able to make money easier, I guess, or better or different or more traditional ways. And so he doesn't have the same passion for fishing that Laker does, and that's fine. I want it, but the main thing, you just want everybody, your kids, just like my kids, you want them to do something they love every day. They don't get up and go to work and dread it every day. They do something they love, and so that's the main thing we want them to do, and then you're happy for them.
Well, no doubt, man. And it's like I think about Laker. I see what Alton Jones Jr. is doing. You know, he grew up like that, homeschooled on the tour. He's always right by his dad's side. Your boys were the same way. So it's no shocker to see Laker doing well. And I just can't brag on him enough for the way he carries himself, even from a very young age. But when he gets his footing under him, and he obviously is more and more and more all the time on the water in these tournaments, he's going to be a problem. What I mean in a good way, he's going to be a problem, because he's got, like you said, he is the total package. I see his social media stuff, man. He's out there working so hard. I see him at the shows. He's already got it dialed, man, working for those sponsors, doing what he needs to do. And I would say any young angler out there that wants another young angler to look up to, that Laker is one of those, because he's had a great teacher in his mom and his dad in what to be and what not to be, but he's doing things the right way. And listen, I love Kyle Austin. Kyle's a friend of mine. I'm proud for Kyle, but I was sitting at the MPFL desk on live refreshing Bass Track. We're literally commentating Amistad, and I'm sitting there just refresh, refresh, refresh. I was like, I was pulling for old Laker. I'm like, come on, dude, which I said on this show, he made me feel really old by doing very good. I'm just like, goodness gracious. But
I appreciate all that, man. And I know he appreciates it too. Yeah, he appreciates it too. You're cutting out a little bit. That's if I'm talking on top of y'all. Yeah, I don't mean to be. That's what I think. You know, I wanted him to be coming into this to not be my son all the time, as far as everybody saying, oh, he's, you know, he's Randy Howell's boy, or he's got everything given to him, or, you know, blah, 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 and all that. So we, you know, he has had a, you know, an easier road, quicker road than a lot of people. And he's not one that would say, I know I haven't. He knows he has too. He's had opportunities, but at the same time, he's done the right things with those opportunities. and he's a humble, good-hearted kid that loves people, and he's genuine. You know, he's honest, and he wants to help people. He loves to see other people do good. He don't have a bitter, jealous, envious bone in his body. You know, he'll do anything, give you the shirt off his back, and that's the biggest thing that I'm proud of, more than him being just a good fisherman. It's just that he's a good person. He loves the Lord. He got married back in August, him and Maddie, and she's a sweet girl, and they, you know, he's doing everything right, and he's working hard. He's guiding a lot, trying to make money in between times, and he's built his own way, and he's got his own sponsors with local people and guide clients and different people. He's raised money through other places other than just regular. You know, really the only sponsors I've helped him get are Triton, because it's a family. That was a family boat for me. I kind of wanted him to be in Triton just because of the legacy of that. And then Daiwa, you know, and Livingston, and everybody else that he's kind of done on his own. And so I'm proud of him, and I want to see him win, and win that tournament so bad. We drove so fast to get to Santee to watch him, because I could, because I didn't have another tournament somewhere else, and I was able to go and be there, and it was so great. But just seeing him come in second, but how he handled it, you know, he wasn't heartbroken, you know, or anything. He was, you know, he was happy for Kyle, and he hugged him on stage, and he loved being there, and he probably loved finishing second more than anybody has ever loved finishing second, is what I felt like.
Well, but listen, to be that age and in those opens, that is, it's cutthroat as it gets. There's over 200 amazing anglers in every single one of those. It's not easy to win one. It's not easy to make the final day cut, but to finish second, and you said this to me at Red Crest, I was like, man, I was pulling for him. And you said, yeah, you catch 80 pounds in 3 days, you're supposed to win.
Like, gosh, I know. That's what I said. Three best days of his life, and he didn't win. You know, that's a shame.
It's incredible, man. We said the same thing at Santee last year. Todd Goad finished second to Patrick Walters there in our MPFL, and I forget what the total weight was, but Todd had three of the greatest fishing days of his life and still came up short. Like, those lakes with really big ones in it will do that, though. They will definitely do that. Yeah. You can get your heart broke a little bit.
Exactly right. And that was I've seen already just a change in his confidence and just his belief. You know, he believes and knows that he can do it, I think, now. And I really feel like that this is going to be the turning point to kind of get him on a good momentum stride. And that's what it's all about in fishing. It's confidence and momentum, and confidence is the biggest key to success in any sport. But in fishing, I think more than any other sport.
Yeah, it is. It's all decisions too, right? I mean, it's all between the ears. If you get spun and that confidence gets knocked back, you could make the wrong decision that could cost you for the entire week. And, you know, fishing somewhere wrong for an hour in a Bassmaster Open can throw your entire season off potentially, right? Like every fish does matter.
That's right. And that week prior to that, he fished, he's fishing all six MLF invitationals, the Tackle Warehouse invitationals. He's fishing 9 opens and 4 Toyotas. So he's fishing 19 tournaments. Jeez. And the week before that, he missed a cut at, West Point Lake by 1 ounce. He was 31st, the top 30 make cut. So he still got an $8,000 check. He was happy, but he was 1 ounce from being able to fish the final day and win $10,000. He was so bummed out. And I said, well, hey, that's all right. You just go right on to that opening. You know, you keep that momentum going. You did good. He finally caught a 5-pounder that last day and finally got a good bite. And then stuff started rolling, and he didn't even get as much practice. He really didn't get to practice much at all because of that other tournament. And I think that helped him. And so now he drove all night long after that show Saturday night, drove all the way and got to Harris Chain at 5 o'clock yesterday morning and practiced yesterday and is practicing today. And that Toyota starts tomorrow at Harris Chain. And so he's doing the stuff and he's got the momentum. I can't do that. I know I couldn't do that when I was 22. I couldn't even drive all night and then go fishing the next day. He's doing it. So he's going to get a break soon. You'll see him win something soon, I believe.
Ain't no doubt, man. You get that many swings at the bat and you fish as you know, much as he does. You are that talented of a young angler as he is, because he can do it all. He can catch them from this deep to out using forward facing. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's great at a lot of it. I did think it was funny, and I wanted to know. And then I saw a couple clips of him. But at Santee, I saw him putting up weights, and all I think about is Randy Howe being one of the greatest sight fishermen that I've ever known in my life. And I thought, that boy's got to be catching him on the bed over there. Ain't no way he's catching him any other way. He's looking at him like his daddy. And he wasn't, I don't think, right? I don't think he was catching him all looking at all.
No, he was all chatterbait pretty much. He caught him all on chatterbait with a Zayco trailer, open water and grass. And he did his own thing. I had just been there for Bass Pro Tour, and I finished 12th on my out of my group and barely missed that cut. And I couldn't tell him nothing because it was already off limits. And he was doing his own research and watching his own live on our tour and all that. And when he told me I'm going to the lower lake, I'm like, golly, man. I said, man, you saw him live, man. Not many people did any good in the lower lake. I said, that's a rough ride. I was telling everything I could think of to probably discourage him from wanting to go on a long ride, because that lake is so dangerous. That's all I'm thinking. I'm his dad. Yeah, I know how crazy he likes to drive fast like me, and I didn't want him to have to run that far. And then he goes and finds him on a lake on his own and does good. So now I'm like, you give me them waypoints in case I go back.
Yeah, be sure to save those on a card, young man, for yes, dad.
That's
for
right. Sure. It'll help me one day now. But it's some of that payback.
It's so funny, though, that I immediately, that is where my mind went, because I'm like, yeah, it's Randy's boy. I bet he's over there looking at him. There's no way he's not. I know, because I know you guys have fished over there a good bit over the years. And I'm sure he's been there plenty of times. But speaking of that, like fishing styles, and we talked a little bit about this today, and I'd like to get you to touch on this for folks, because it is a huge discussion, obviously. But you've got a lot of youth, and Lakers one of them that I would consider. They're coming in, they're working hard, like you just said. They're absolutely addicted with it. They're addicted to it. They're obsessed with it. They will outwork you. They are better at electronics than a lot of veteran guys, and I think you would agree with that. But they have put their time in, and they grew up, they kind of collided with it, right? Like, when they got into the sport was when all that started blowing up. That being said, you are, when I first met you, you were Mr. Floating Worm, man. You were on a Daiichi hook, son. Like, I was going to throw me a floating worm because of Randy Howe. I had a trading card when I was about 19, made when I thought I was a big-time professional fisherman in the making, and it's a favorite bait, floating worm. And it was only because of Randy Howe, period, end of story. But you've been a grinder. You've said that earlier. Consistency has been your career. But with this new tech, how much time are you spending trying to get better with it?
Man, I tell you, it is the hot topic, and it's a big deal because it's totally the great equalizer, you know. And if I might have heard somebody say that, or I might have made that up, I don't know, but it's the great equalizer. Just like in the Red Crest the other day, Dalton Head, the real good fishing, you know, kid from over there in Montevallo, and he's out there competing with the best of them, running around catching them on active target, you know. And he could have, had he just made another decision right or two that day, the pressure probably got hard on him and he didn't make that final day. But he could have potentially, you know, gave Dustin a run for the money the last day, and he's 19 years old. And that could never have happened back before technology, because knowledge and experience and time on the water, all that stuff that we grew up knowing, that was all that mattered. You know, that's what made you good. And the older you got, the better you should get. And now it's totally the great equalizer is the electronics. And I've watched Laker come up and learn it all. And I've learned a lot of it from him. And Drew Gill is another one of the greatest ones out there. And Drew, we've known Drew since he was first year in college. He stayed at my house for a college tournament. And I've tried to, you know, the good thing having a connection with all my boys young, I've been able to connect with a lot of other young high school and college age kids that love fishing. And, you know, a lot of them have stayed at our house for tournaments and just, well, I love to help people because I know their passion like I was. I wish somebody could have helped me more when I was their age. So I try to help as many of those as I can. But now it's getting to the point of seeing how good they're doing, that now I'm kind of going back to them kids and I'm like, hey, y'all try to help me a little bit now. I need a little help. Let me get in the boat. Show me how you do this better than I do, why you're so efficient with this. You know, and Lakers got my stuff dialed in right. And this year on my Triton, I put a HDS 16 Pro up front that I run my active target 2 on. And so I can see it even better and clearer, and got see clear power harness. So it's all clear and crisp. And I got everything you need. You know, I don't have multiple deucers, but you don't really need that because some of the best guys out there only have one. I mean, you talked about. And so, you know, man, I want to learn it, and my goal, like I joke about, is to be the best over 50 scoper or active target guy on tour. That's my goal, and I'm going to do it, I'm telling you, because I'm not going down in flames griping and complaining that
yes,
you know, I can't do it. It's going to be my fault if I don't make it, because it's on me, and I'm putting the time in. I've practiced more, I've fished more, and I've done more in this off season, really two off seasons now, than I've ever fished and done before. And that's the hard thing when you get to be this age with boys in high school and basketball and all the sports like you do with yours. If you're going to be a good dad and spend time with them, you got someplace you're going to suffer somewhere. So you can't be gone all the time and lose all your family time. So I've chosen to do the stuff with my family more. And I haven't fished a lot the last 2 or 3 years, 4 years. And, you know, and there's times that I've not been consistent like I should have. And it's a lot of times it's because I haven't put the time in that a lot of them are putting in. So that's my fault. But I'm going to start. I'm already doing it more now. And when Oakley gets out of high school this year, goes to college, Alabama, me and Robin are going to be on the road again. And I'm going to be fishing a lot more. And I'm telling you, I'm going to have a resurgence in my 50s. And I feel like I'm going to do good because I'm going to learn the stuff that I'm learning. I'm already learned it. I'm going to keep getting better with it. I just got to now erase a lot of them memories of all that pretty stuff on the bank and all those million waypoints I've got from every lake around the country, connect the dots on my Lowrance everywhere I go. And I go run all these places and look at stuff, and none of it's really any good anymore. I just need to put a trolling motor down and get out there and start zigzagging back and forth and find me some fish and throw out there and catch them like a lot of them are doing. And I know how to do it, and I'm going to get better at it. I promise you that.
Well, do you think those fish, because there's a lot more pressure now than ever before. I've said on this show, I feel like the main reason people are upset is because we are finding out we are wrong. And that we have been wrong, I guess I mean by that. That all the magazine articles, that what we thought bass did, they never did. Mm-hmm. You and I talked about this a little bit at Redcrest. Do you think, is that the case? Or have the fish changed because of fishing pressure? And now with this technology, we can kind of intercept them out there? Or did they always just do this, Randy Howe? Were they just, when you went down a stretch of bank and you didn't get bit? Well, they're just not biting, or were they always over your shoulder and we just didn't know it?
That's what bugs the heck out of me is probably that they were out there all the time swimming around and we didn't know it, you know. And I feel like it could be some of what you said too. It could be that just so much pressure and people fishing the banks could have pushed fish out there more, could have pushed bait fish out. But we're learning more and more that the fish follow bait fish more than we ever realized. You know, we thought, we always knew stripers did. And when, like in Smith Lake and lakes that where they spotted bass, we knew they did, but we realized a largemouth would swim around in the middle of the great big wide open lake, just following bait fish around under 5 or 6 foot deep under the surface, you know, in 100 foot of water. You know, we didn't know that. And we would have never known that had it not been for electronics. And that's why all the years of our co-angler days, back in the old Bassmaster days when you had the co-angler, and they throw a rattle trap out and catch a 5-pounder out in the middle. And I'm like, how in the world did that guy get that lucky, catch a 5-pounder? And I tell that story, and I've had to have it so many times. And there was probably a freaking 100 of them out there if I could have just had enough sense to turn around and start fishing out there.
Start bobbing out there.
I know so many times you just wish you could have been on, you could have known something a little bit before everybody else did, you know, because that would have made a difference. But that's what's so cool about it. You know, we don't know nearly what we thought we knew about them, but that's what I love about it. And what is so exciting to me, because I've done this my whole life, and it was a point there just, you know, 10 years ago that it was monotonous to me a lot of times, you know, you kind of get burn out sometimes when you do it for a long time, and you get in a grind, and you know, nothing changes, and it's the same old thing all the time. That's the way it was for a long time, and I didn't enjoy it for several periods of my career. It just kind of got to be monotonous, and now it's like a brand new world, you know, has opened up to me personally, because I'm learning so much more than I ever learned before. Every time I go out and play with that active target on and see those fish swimming, and I throw bait and I watch the bait and I see a fish and I realize it's a bass and they come bite it, and then I'm like, hook up. I'm like, God, I can't. Then you see how big it is, and it's like, oh my. Yeah, I love that. It's really fun. And I mean, no matter what people say and how boring it might be to watch, it's boring to watch golf to me, but people still love to play it, and people still watch people play it because they get better by watching them. So no matter how bad people say they don't like to watch people looking down at their screen, if they learn what those people are doing and how to catch more fish because of it, that's all we ever want to do is learn how to beat the bass. The bass have beat us way more than we've ever beat them. Yes. You know, this is the losingest sport that you could ever play in and make a living. So to lose as much as I've lost in my life, and I've still made a good living doing it. So the more I can get good at it, the more I'm one-upping on them bass over these years. That's all I want to do. So it fires me up to have that opportunity.
No doubt. And I love what you said about how excited you get with the forward facing, because you are a sight fisherman. And again, you're one of those guys that influence me. That's my favorite way to bass fish. And you know that about me. I love to sight fish, man. That's my thing. And I love whether it's redfish, bass, whatever. Like, I love to see fish. But that's what forward facing has done. Like, I get so jacked up when I see one and you see them coming. I'm like, it's the same as looking over there by a stump, seeing them on the bed. I'm like, uh-oh. I love that moment. And doing live coverage like I do, I can tell you, if you're going to be, if you're honest with yourself as a fan of the sport, and I look, not every tournament is topwater blowups on a frog or cool swim jig bites or flipping bites. I watch a lot of bass fishing. I'm fortunate that that's part of my, how I pay my light bill. Watching fishing for five straight hours, like I get to do with MPFL Alabama Bass Trail, it's really boring. Watching somebody fish is boring. I don't care if they're, what they're doing. For the most part,
that's right.
Fishing is, most of the time, it's a lot like hunting in that it's a lot of boring with like 30-second windows of excitement, right? So I think those criticisms, I understand it, but I think it's not changed a lot in that, except on the live coverage. I feel like people are catching a lot more big ones than ever before.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's the thing. We, you know, it's boring to watch other people. It's just a sport. Sometimes it's not exciting. Sometimes always to watch other people do it anyway. Yeah, you know, when you, it's fun to go do it yourself. But and like I mentioned, I say golf again, you know, people that love to play golf, it's probably be fun to play golf, but it ain't as much fun to watch golf. And fishing is the same way sometimes to me too. But now when you see Jacob Wheeler and Dustin Connell and Drew Gill and Dakota Hebert, Michael Neal, and the list goes on of all the great ones, and Trey McKinney over there on Bassmaster now, and you see them, when they make a cast, they are throwing at a bass almost every time they make a cast. And now I throw 2,000 casts a day all my life, and wear my arms and shoulders and elbows, and I have both my elbows done twice. And I mean, I've got all this done because I've cast my life away, and now you don't have to do that anymore. And that's what's so exciting about it. Your efficiency is so much better. And I heard Drew Gill on Bass Talk Live, I think on Pan Rack Show. Drew Gill did a really good interview on there. I heard he said, you know, the days of, that's just fishing, those days are kind of going away. Like we always say, that's just fishing. And I still say it, it ain't no real reason I didn't catch them. Well, that's just fishing. And now those guys with electronics are taking that out of the game, because now you can find them and biting somewhere every day if you do the right thing and you get your odds and your numbers or your averages up and you throw it enough bass every day that you're going to get enough of them to bite. So that's why it excites me, and that's why I want to keep getting better at it. And I want to be in them top tens with 9 of them boys that are under 25 years old, and maybe 50 years old, and me beat them. You know, that's what I want to do. You know, that's what's exciting about it. And you can't do that in any other sport. You know, LeBron's son's playing basketball now, but he don't go home and tell his dad nothing about how to be better at playing basketball. But my son is 22, and he can tell me how to be better. And it can be legit, and I can be better. And that's the only sport in the world like that.
That's awesome, man. And to go back to your point on Drew Gill real quick, I had him on. We did a live, the last LBO actually live I did. I had Drew, and I just had to stop even trying to talk because he is so intelligent. Yeah. And he is, I just sounded like, I always sound like a dummy, but I really did talking to him because that kid – he doesn't need to be bass fishing though, Randy. He needs to be curing cancer. He needs to be solving, like coming up with ideas for world peace. Like he needs to be president. Like we need that young man out of bass. I'm proud of him. I'm glad that's what he likes. Let's go do something bigger than bass fishing.
His dad is the same way, because his dad's a college professor.
Okay.
And I know his dad pretty well, and his dad's super smart, and his mom's super smart. And I've heard all the stories about his whole family from his dad, and they're super high IQ people, not people that normally sign up for bass tournaments. but he is so good, but he's humble and he's got a sweet spirit about it. I didn't know you did a show with him. I'm staying so busy. I need to go back and watch that, because I love to hear
him. Yeah. Yeah, he's just I could listen to him for hours. Like I've never met him in person until this past Friday, and he went all the way out of his way. I had my back to kind of the aisle, and somebody walked up behind me, grabbed me by the arm, turned around, Drew. He goes, "Hey man, I just want to come over and speak and say thank you again for having me on the show." He's such a nice young man. Got his head on the right way. I'll tell this on myself. I knew nothing about him. I don't listen to all the other fishing podcasts just because I try to stay in my own lane. And I listen to Pangrack a little bit, but Matt and I talk a lot about who we're having on, different things. I'd seen clips of Drew talking on social media a little bit on some shows, but nothing else. And I told my wife, I'm like, she's like, "Who you got tonight?" I'm like, Drew Gill. And yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be an okay show. I don't know. I don't know that much about it, man. I'm 5 minutes in and I'm like a little kid, like, "Tell me more, wow. Mr. Gill." Like, it was incredible.
That's what I said. I know. I actually listened to that other one. I was driving back from Toledo Bend. I listened to the Drew show twice. The same thing. I went back and listened to it again. And that's how eager I am to learn and want to get better at it. And that's the cool thing about Drew is he is humble and he's gracious and he don't mind sharing and telling people. And a lot of guys don't like that about him. A lot of guys, he's blowing the cover on a lot of guys, because a lot of guys have been doing what he's doing and have been real good at it, and they've been tight-lipped. I mean, I can tell you, Michael Neal, Dakota Ebear, Wheeler, best he can, Connell, best he can. A lot of them guys, they've been doing this for 3-4 years now and dominating and playing the old shucks game. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, and whatever. But Drew is telling everything that he does, and that's what they've been doing. And that's, a lot of them don't like that. But people better listen up when somebody like that starts talking, because he's got it figured out, and you can learn it when somebody tells you how to do it like that.
No doubt. Listen, when he starts speaking, you can tell immediately, like, okay, this is not junk. He's telling you straight up. He's not trying to throw you for a loop, right, like fishermen can. It's amazing. Dude, before I get you out of here, I appreciate your time big time. 10-year anniversary of Randy House Classic win, to have him is an honor. Mark Shannon, this comment: not worth $30,000 to $50,000 to catch a bass. I might pay that for a boat, but that's because it's a necessity. So let me ask you this, because it is for a lot of people, the price, the entry level, for all, the barrier to entry, I should say, is a lot for a lot of people, man, myself included. I understand that. If you did not fish professionally, because fishing's all about what you make it. I say that all the time. If you did not fish professionally, would you still be as consumed with getting better at it? Or would Randy Howe just go throw a Senko and a wacky worm around and a howler and just fish like you like to fish?
You know, that's a good question. I've really never thought about that, you know, because we do it for a living and all that. But, you know, when you put it in that perspective, I probably would still keep it simple, you know, and I would just get back out. I'd keep, you know, doing the same things, because you can still catch plenty of fish doing that. You just can't be as competitive as you used to be because of it, but you can still have plenty of fun catching fish. And now, like we joke about it all the time, there's still a lot more fish on the bank getting left alone now because people are fishing out in the middle of the lake so much. So there's still a lot of fish there. And in a 5-fish limit format on the Bassmaster side, I still feel like you can be competitive in that format. You know, we're fishing old school ways, the ways we've always fished, and you're seeing guys still doing that. But in the Bass Pro Tour no limit format, it's got to the point now you can't be competitive without doing that. But as a simple fun fishing guy, you know, if I just fished on the weekends or fish with my boys or whatever, taking it easy, I'd probably keep it simple and do a lot of the simple fishing too, you know.
Amen. And look, I say that if you just fish on the weekends, whether it's tournaments or not, and you want to put $50,000 worth of electronics on your boat, and that helps you get through your life, you got your 9-to-5 and you get to fish on the weekends and that's how you enjoy it, hey, if you're happy, I'm happy. If you're a guy that wants to just throw a buzzbait 12 months out of the year and that's the only rod you got a Randy Howe signature dival rod and you throw a buzzbait on it on braid all the time, cool. Fishing is beautiful because that's what makes, if you like to just crappie fish, bluegill, whatever, Like last week on Wilson Lake on the Tennessee River, where, you know, I love more than anywhere. I was down there, mm-hmm. and I went to crappie fish. My wife wanted to go out. We went out with crappie fish for a little bit. I caught me a few crappie. I caught me a big old bass on a crappie jig, one over 5 pound, big to me, on like 4 pound line. I'm like, dang, that's cool. On live scope. Mm-hmm. Well, then some fish started schooling, and it was a mix of largemouth and hybrids. And, buddy, I sat there and put it on them hybrids for about an hour. I would catch one bass for every 10 of those jokers I caught. I'm not bashful. Yeah. I like pulling back on stuff.
Yeah. I like to catch fish. I just want to feel something pull and line them in. You know, like me and Jerry Lawler were joking the other day at Wheeler about catching drum and over. And Jerry said, I ought to start a drum guide yes. service. You know, these drum are more fun to catch than a bass. Catch them so easily. And like nobody, and people just call them a trash fish because they are. But if you just want to go catch fish, you can go drum fishing. You can have a ball on Lake Wheeler and even on Lake Gunnersville and Tennessee River.
Yeah. I'll make a post with Jerry Lawler's number. Any of y'all want to go on a drum trip? We'll get you hooked up with Jerry.
Yeah. Tell him to watch this show. Hey, getting back to the money aspect of it, honestly, if you think about it, guys that are saying, you know, $30,000 to $50,000. You know, if you really think about it, you know, not joking, but seriously, you can spend $3,000 on a HDS live unit, pro unit, whatever, and a active target, you know, and put them on your boat for $4,000 to $4,500 all in on your trolling motor, and you don't even need none of the other stuff. That is all you need if you to do forward facing sonar and learn that. Because if you fish one lake all the time, you don't really need it. You don't even need to use the mapping on your unit. You just use that one unit. And I know boys up here at Gunnersville that's got, you know, 1982 sports, you know, with this boat, motor, trailer, everything's worth about $1,500. And they got $4,000 worth of electronics on it. And they catch them just as good or better than I can. And it's like seeing the boys in the hood with the old Caprice Classic, you know, $1,000 car, and they got $4,000 wheels and $3,000 stereo and that thing, you know.
That's right, man. I see it all the time. All the time on Tennessee River, man. I see you don't have to have a brand new boat every year, but you can fix it up like a brand new one. You know, there's plenty of ways to do that. And the you know, like you said, you only need one screen. I tell you right now, my Express this year, I have an HDS 12 at the console that I bought, and I always feel like I have to say that because everybody thinks everything's free in the fishing world. I have gotten free units in the past, but not from Lowrance, and so I bought an HDS 12 for my console, and up front, I have a Garmin 12 for live scope, and then I have a 9-inch Lowrance just for mapping. That's all I have. I don't have anything else because that's what I, if I'm going to get off the bank, I'm not going to look at anything else. I'm only going to look at that and look at mapping. That's all I got this year. I don't want to say I dumbed it down, but I used to have like 2 12s and all. I'm like, no, I want one screen for live, one for mapping, and that's what I got.
Yeah, and I've just got two up front of mine. I went with a 16 this time because I can, and I want to see and see the stuff clear, a bigger screen, and it's like a movie on that bigger screen. And some guys are using even bigger ones, but that 16 is perfect for me. My boat Logic mount has it stacked up pretty high where I can see it well. I got a 12 under it, and that 12 I just use mostly to see the map and the contours on my C-Map Lowrance, and you know, and that's about it. And I really feel like that's all you really got to have. You know, I think a lot of them have three units, and they might use a 360 on a Hummingbird or something mixed in with it. But I think you can get by with one if you don't want to have the money to spend on two. But if you're going to have the money as you want, two is really, I feel like, all you really need.
Well, with the way those mounts are, too, the transducer mounts, I mean, for like Lowrance has got the scout mode. Garmin has the perspective. The mount I got, Trent Palmer at Sonar Pros hooked me up, and I got a mount that I can just reach down there and turn the thing, and I can go perspective or regular live scope on the same mount. Like I see why people rig up the two, so you're, you know, because it does stink taking 2 seconds to turn it, I guess. But like for me, it's keep it simple, stupid. I've got one unit, one transducer. Mark McQuaw coming in, the one and only, the legend in the comments. Hey, Randy, visited with Laker this morning. So dang proud of him. There's a lot of that.
Tournament
in the
director
comments.
Right there. That's the man.
That is tournament director extraordinaire, Mr. Mike McCoy. We always appreciate him. He's a low lifer, man.
Yeah,
he pops in the comments a lot.
Yeah.
He's a highbrow low lifer. He's a low lifer in high places.
He's sneaking in there. He's sneaking in there listening in.
Oh,
yeah, that's
is.
Good. I appreciate Mark. Mark's a great man. He's a great tournament director. I've always loved him. He treats people the same no matter who you are, if you fish one tournament or 1,000 tournaments on the Toyota series and everywhere else. And it means a lot to hear good things. That's what's so cool about hearing people everywhere you go, you know, make good comments about your son, and, you know, it makes you proud. And that's the main thing, just hearing. I don't care if people say, man, that boy's the best fisherman I've ever heard seen. That means nothing to me. But when they say he's a good kid, or he's a good, you know, nice and humble, and he's, you know, genuine and he cares about him or whatever, that's the kind of person, that's the kind of stuff you like to hear as a parent, you know, and
no
I'm
doubt.
Thankful and proud of that.
No doubt about it. You should be proud, and you should be proud of the career you've put together. And you still got a long way to go in this deal. You're going to be the best. Y'all heard it right here, you low lifers.
Right,
he is going to be
right.
The best over 50 scoper on the trails. Here he comes, Randy Howe. Buddy, I really appreciate you doing this, man. It was a lot of fun. Means a lot to me to get to do this. Who would have ever thought many, many moons ago that I would be doing this? And that, I mean, I knew you would still be a pro, but I didn't know what in the world I'd be doing. I'm just glad I'm not like in prison or something.
I am too. I'm glad you're doing good, and you're still fishing and watching fishing, and you're a fan of the sport just like I am, and I love.
No doubt,
it's awesome,
man,
that there's so many ways you can make a living in the sport, and you got your niche, and that's what it's all about. And I mean, and it's cool to see what you're doing over there with MPFL, and those guys are doing great. And it's good to see, you know, another good trail paying good money and having live coverage where guys can have more guys can have an opportunity to try to make money fishing and following and chasing their passion. And that's what it's all about, you know.
No doubt. No doubt, man. I appreciate that, buddy. And always appreciate you. Tell Miss Robin I said hello, and I'll see you in Tulsa, I'm sure, roaming around.
Yeah, I'll be flying in there Wednesday, and I'll be at the Daiwa booth. Hey, see this shirt I got on? Hey, Daiwa's giving these free shirts away. So it's a $60 Sim shirt. You buy a Tattoo La Real, you can get a free shirt. That promotion's going on right now at all the dealers. But if you come to the Classic next week and buy a Tattoo La Real there in the booth, you can get a free $60 shirt. So that's what I got. I got mine yesterday down there at Red Crest. I didn't buy a reel, I'll be honest with you. I didn't have to buy the reel. But I got the Daiwa rep. Just go ahead and give me the shirt, because I wanted the shirt really bad. So y'all need to get you one. And I'm like, I'm going to be at all the booths at the Classic. I'm wore out from doing it at Red Crest, but Classic's going to be even bigger. A lot more booths, lots of people, and I'm going to be all over the place. So if y'all come out and see us out there, man, it's going to be an exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing Grand Lake, because I almost won the Classic on Grand Lake, the one that Edwin won. And that Classic, and then all the ones since then. But this is going to be the first time the Classic's gone back there, same time of the year, mm-hmm. but with the electronics game in full force now. So it's going to be cool to see if old school and new school are going to collide, if there's going to be a mixture like Jason Christie and the big 1 ounce Colorado spinnerbait, if that's going to keep playing, or if Trey McKinney ain't in this one, but some of the other young guys that are scoping really, really good, if they're going to get out there and figure out how to catch bass on Grand Lake that other people haven't figured out how to catch. So I'm excited to watch that next week myself.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Give me your pick to win the Classic off the top of your head before I let you go.
Yeah. I tell you, I feel like I really got a feeling that Jason Christie will win, because he's a hardcore, fierce competitor. He's already won Classic now. He's got that monkey off his back. And I feel like he was so close to winning there a time or two in the past that, and he knows how to win and knows how to close. And he's got to, and he knows how to use electronics now. He's
yes.
the same age as me about it, but he knows how to use them good. And so it's going to be interesting, but I would pick Jason Christie if I had to pick.
Yeah, I think that's if you're a betting man, I'd say that's a pretty good bet, because when he won the Classic, if we remember at Hartwell, he was using forward-facing sonar every morning to kind of, it was a balance of old school, like you said, old school meets new school. That was the first time we really saw him. He's had LiveScope as long as anybody. He's really good with it. Wouldn't shock me to see him do that at Grand, kind of mix in his old school ways at Grand and new school and just blow the thing out. Wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah. And that's what's exciting. That's what I like about, I love the mixture of those two things. And that's kind of the way I've been fishing the last 2 years, is mixing those two together a lot. And I feel like Grand Lake's the kind of lake you can do that. I don't feel like it's going to be a middle of the lake dominated type event. And I was wrong at Santee, and I was wrong at Fork, and I was wrong in some places. I might be wrong again, but it'll be fun to watch next week to see what happens.
It'll be fun to see it shake. I will see you in Tulsa, and looking forward to it as always, buddy.
Yeah. Thank you for having me tonight. Absolutely. Thank all you guys for following, watching, and commenting, and we'll see you guys in Tulsa. God bless.
No doubt about it. Randy Howell, everybody, right there. That was fun, you bunch of lowlifers, getting that guy right there, one of my heroes in life, such a fantastic human being. And I saw that in the comments, man. I tried to keep up with everything y'all are saying. There's a lot of positivity about Mr. Randy Howe and his son Laker. For sure, he is he's a fantastic young angler that's going to be around for a long time, just like his dad has been around for a long time, and rightfully so. So I appreciate each and every one of y'all for tuning in each and every week. It means a ton to me. I'm grateful for the opportunity to get to do this and get to do all the things I get to do in this old fishing world. It's pretty cool for a redneck from Southern Tennessee, I'll be honest. And it always hits me the hardest on weeks like this, at the Bassmaster Classic Week, getting to do the live podcast. The Express Boats booth, if you're around, I'm going to be there at 1 p.m. on Saturday. And then that night at the Hunt Club in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I've assembled a band of brothers, so to speak, to play music. And I appreciate all you guys and gals. Hope to see y'all all there. I'll also be bouncing around the Baitworks booth. I'll be at the Pro Guide Batteries booth some. Be hanging around the Alabama Bass Trail booth some as well. So I cannot wait to see you. If you can't make it to Tulsa, I'm going to do my best. I do not know what the Wi-Fi situation is going to be like there at the Hunt Club and in the Express booth. I'm going to do my best to try to stream both podcasts. If not, they will post up early next week. Okay. I will get them posted up. I'm going to have all my cameras with me and things, and we will see what happens. Well, I appreciate each and every one of you. Going to take you out with some Biloxi Blues, like always. And if you're going to be in Tulsa, I'll see y'all when we're living on Tulsa time. See y'all. Thank y'all.
Spanish moss, a Civil War ghost. Well, I'm going to leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. It does not know my name, and I don't care. No, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.